I'm sure you would all agree that the focus of this weekend has been on remembering. Remembering the things that God has done in our midst. And consequently, it should come as no surprise to you that the first, and in fact only instruction in the reading that we had just then, was to remember. To remember something that has eternal consequences. To remember, as a group of believers gathered together, the amazing change in our situation before God and with one another since Jesus became our Lord and our Saviour. That passage we read in Ephesians says this. It says, therefore remember that formerly you who are Gentiles by birth and called uncircumcised by those who call themselves the circumcision, remember that at that time you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, and foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. But now, wonderful words, isn't it? But now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Those Gentiles, and the word Gentile simply means non-Jewish person, those Gentiles to whom Paul wrote this had first-hand knowledge of that terrible, terrible hostility between the Jews with their one God and the rest of the world. The Jews basically said, we own the right to worship the one true God. We have been chosen to be his worshippers. And we have little intention of sharing that right with any other nation. And even if you wanted to, we can't, because you are the uncircumcised. And that was always a tone. Terrible, you find it back in the Old Testament. I always love the fact that David always talked about these uncircumcised Philistines. And so they would say to the Gentiles, well, you know, that's the way it is. It's just the fact of life. If you are prepared to go through all the many stipulations that we have through our law, then you might get in. But don't count on it. You are not part of Israel. You are not children of the promise. You are not connected with the one true God. And therefore you have no hope of escaping the judgment that is to come. So that was the type of thing that these Gentiles lived with from the Jews quite often. But the point that Paul is making here in this passage is that despite the horrible and arrogant way the Jews had of putting their point across, a lot of what they said was in fact was true. Up to the coming of Jesus, all the promises that God had given through the prophets did seem to center on the Jewish people. If you were not a Jew, then you were in a hopeless situation. However, writes Paul, with the coming of Jesus, God proclaimed that this gift of forgiveness, this gift of eternal life, was available to all people. And says Paul, God calls you to receive that message and to believe in all the wonder of his mercy. So remember, writes Paul, what an incredible change in your life has occurred because you have believed in the Lord Jesus Christ as your Saviour. The incredible change that has brought about. The place you're in now to the place that you once were. And so he says in verse 13, this is from the contemporary English version, For now, in Christ Jesus, you who were once far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ, by that death, terrible death of Christ upon the cross, where his blood was spilt as an offering for the sins of many. And then he says also, and because of Christ, all of us, or every one of us, Jew, Gentile, whatever, all of us can come to the Father by the same Spirit. What an amazing promise that is, isn't it? What a statement. Now, we do not have in our society, in our normal dealings, the Jew-Gentile problem. But we know, if we are believers, that before we became believers, we too had no certainty about our connection with God as our Father. Oh, we might have thought we had something going there, but in our hearts deep down we knew that we had no certainty. We did not have the Spirit within, bearing witness with our spirit that we were children of God and calling him Abba Father. And we know too that at that time we had no reality of our sins being forgiven. I pray you may not have thought about our sins much, but when we came face to face with what they meant before a perfect God, we had no reality whatsoever of them being forgiven outside of Christ. And we had no guarantee that our lives and our future were part of God's incredible plan that goes on not just now, but into eternity. And then God drew us to himself, and everything changed. Maybe you haven't got that far yet. Maybe you're just on the edge. You're wondering about where you stand with God. Well, it's only through Christ that change can take place. But you've got to do business with him. You've got to accept that he's Lord. You accept that he died as God the Son, that he came to earth and died on the cross for you, that he rose again, which is God's way of saying it's worked. And that in him, if you trust him as your Lord and Saviour, he will forgive the things that separate you from God and make you one of God in his family. You can do that. Something you need to do. And for us who have, we have this wonderful assurance now that he is our God and he is our Lord. So just like Paul's readers, we too have this wonderful gift of grace that God gave us the day we first believed in him. And we need to remember that, says Paul. We need to remember that wonderful gift that has changed our lives. We need to remember the glorious privilege which is ours to call God Father. And the immense honour to know God in such a way. Behold what manner of love, John says, doesn't he? The Father has lavished upon us that we should be called children of God. And such are we. We must never take it for granted. And if you feel you have taken it for granted, then get back to God and realize what a gift you have. What a wonderful joy it is you can come here and call yourself a believer this morning because of Christ and what he's done for you. And says Paul, there is a need for us in our remembering to center our hearts on what our position in Christ means for us right now. Look what he says in verse 19. He says, consequently, you are no longer foreigners and strangers, but fellow citizens with God's people and also members of his household. You're no longer on the outside looking in, says Paul. You are fellow citizens with God's people throughout the world, and you are members of God's family together, because that's what the word household means in this context. I'm part of a large family, quite a large family. Several brothers and several sisters. And you know, from an early age, I just love that. I still do. That I was privileged to be in such a beautiful, large family. But more important to me, even than my natural family, is the fact that I am in this gigantic family, which is connected with believers everywhere because of my relationship with Jesus. That there are people that I will never ever meet on this earth, but I have a connection with them. That today we can gather here, there's people from everywhere, especially from America. We'd let them in today. But we have this family connection because of the Lord Jesus Christ. And the fact that God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit head up this family and care for us and through us for other family members. Isn't that absolutely incredible? You know what it means? It means that we are never alone. Even in times of great crisis and despair. That is a precious thing for us to remember. Always. And it's precious for us to remember that all the time, isn't it? But there are certain occasions when it's vital for us to remember that we are in the family of God. You know those occasions when things aren't going so great? Aren't going so well, that we need, then it's vital that we connect with God as our Father, a Father who loves us, who's not going to let us go, that we have a Saviour who is our brother, we have a Spirit dwelling within us. It is vital then to remember those things. Just for a moment, think of the most dreadful thing that you could ever imagine happening to you. You know, we've all got them, haven't we? Things we fear. This would be the worst if this worst thing happened to us. So often it's connected with our health. And we have people in our congregation who have been through this place and going through it now. But if you were told that you or someone close to you only had a few weeks to live because you'd kindly discovered that you had this terrible disease, the bottom would fall out of your world. And the news, this terrible news, would throw you into the pit of despair. It would challenge your faith. It may even cause you to doubt God, to doubt that God's there for you. Yet even that horrible scenario could never change the fact that you are part of God's family. And He will never leave you alone or unsupported. And that He has these unchangeable plans for your eternal future. Maybe something different for you. Perhaps you, that part where you're struggling, you may be struggling with a sin that has you in its grip. Even though you are a believer, you know it's there. It's some disastrous habit that is so hard to break. It may be an addiction that occasionally rears its head and takes over your life. And when it does, the devil's there to scorn you. And the guilt, it builds up and it seeks to destroy you. And you wonder how God could still love you when you find it so hard to even love yourself. And God says, remember, you're in my family. And I will always love you. I will never leave you. My forgiveness, my strength, my renewing is always there for you. And I love you. Or perhaps you're going through one of those dark places where nothing goes right. Everything constantly goes wrong. You feel alone. You find you're avoiding other people, even people in your family, even people in the family of believers. And yet, even though at those times you do not sense the arms of Christ round you, they're there. They're always round you. And He will never leave you because you're family. Or maybe it's a time when really you're just in your spiritual wilderness. You know those places? In your Christian walk, you've just Your Christian walk has become rather insipid lately. Oh, you turn up at church, perhaps. You're there, sometime, perhaps often. But the passion's gone out of it. And that's when God touches you on your shoulder one day and says, remember. Remember again how important it is that you are in God's family. Remember how much I yearn for that closeness again. And remember how much it meant to you one day. And come back and walk together with me because you're still in my family. It's just so important, isn't it, for us to constantly remember how amazing it is that God called us into his forever family and he constantly cares for us as his children. But then there's one final thing that Paul wants us to remember, and this is what we are becoming in Jesus every day. He mentions it in verse 22. He says, and in him you two are being built together, to become a dwelling in which God lives by his Spirit. You know, this weekend we celebrate having these visible church buildings that we have appreciated for the last 10 years. But you know, I know however wonderful a building is. In the end, it's just bricks and mortar or stone and mortar, isn't it? There's another building that is still under construction, and every believer is part of it. And that building is the people of God. That's the important thing. You know, there are people meeting today all over the world. Some will be meeting in barns or bars, or some will be meeting in shacks, or some will just be two or three gathered together for fear of the authorities. And some will be in great cathedrals, and some will be in mega churches. Like the one Zach was telling me about with 20,000 people in. It doesn't matter. It's the church is not the building. The church is the people of God. And God says, you are a building. We are a building. And he is building us up all the time, constantly working on us. God's unique temple in which God dwells by his Spirit. Never forget, says Paul, that you are continually being built together to become a building in which God lives by his Spirit. I've got one of Roger's photos because he's seen this, but there's this beautiful building, this beautiful church. It's known as the Church of the Holy Family in Barcelona. And it's a massively, massive, privately funded Roman Catholic church. Been under construction there since 1892. It's not expected to be finished till at least 2026. Just about every day, work continues on this church. They call it the unfinished cathedral. And will continue until it's finally completed. So it is with God's church, with God's building, with God's cathedral, with us, his believers. We are God's cathedral, which is constantly being built. It's been refined. It's been renewed by Almighty God. And you're part of that. You may have heard the slogan, be patient, God hasn't finished with me yet. You know, that applies most to God's church, God's people, God's building, God's cathedral. But you know, even as God is working on our construction, he's still using us. Even as he's working, adding stones and shaping the stones already there and adjusting the stones and moving the stones already in place, he is still making his presence felt and known in this world through his people. touching others with the truth that he dwells within this group of believers and that group of believers, wherever they are in the whole world. Consequently, our passion as believers is not to serve or to worship by ourselves, but to do so as part of God's church building. God's cathedral, God's living building. Relying on one another for support, for encouragement, for enablement, and for inspiration. The other day I was talking to a friend who told me about a relative of his who was a non-Christian. And from the sound of it, was a very, very, very non-Christian in their attitude in some things. But they had become quite sick. Now, as a Christian, and being amongst God's people in small groups and larger groups, he had taught and he knew and been encouraged to pray for other people that they may come to know the Lord too. And to show them the love of Christ. So he prayed about this relative. Then he recalled a book that another one of the fellowship of believers that he had been part of had mentioned to him as a good book to give to someone, the book 316. And so he decided that he would send that book to that person who was living quite a long way away. And as he sent it, so he asked other members of his friends, Christians, to pray for this person. And they did. And to their joyful surprise, the book was not only received, but read. And now that relative is regularly attending a church and dragging their husband along too, which is even a greater miracle. But what we see here is God working through his body. The body encouraging one another to seek the lost, to be active, proactive in sharing with others about Jesus. The body praying together. The body providing sometimes just the from one or other, the book. And the idea of the book to send. And then the body receiving this new person and loving them into the family. It's the body working together. So the exciting thing, if you're a believer this morning, is that then you are an integral part of something that God is using today to reveal his presence within this world. Whatever group, whatever part, however you do it, doesn't matter. If you're part of the church, then we're united in this. And it's exciting. And the challenge for us as believers is that we can become more and more involved in the body of believers that God has made you a part of. Being what God wants you to be as a living stone in his cathedral. For whatever it is the Lord wants you to do right at the moment, what he calls you to do, lays upon your heart. Whatever he has for you to do, if you're not doing it, then his building in that one part is not complete. But when you play your part, however small that may seem to you, then God's work is happening. And he will have the glory, which of course is what we want more than anything else. Mighty God, we praise and thank you that we can just stop and think about these things. We thank you for your word, such a precious, precious thing you've given to us. We thank you that we can open it. And even though we perhaps only just scratch the surface this morning, Lord, we can hear what you're saying to us again today. We pray, Lord, that the words that you want us to recall, to remember, will go deep in our hearts, whatever they will be, from you. From no one else, but from you. And Lord, you will give us by the power of your Spirit the ability, the courage, the determination, the passion to work on them so that indeed you will have the glory. Amen.